Okay, today's daf is Chul and daf Lamed Ches. We left off on daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. We were discussing yesterday the sugya of a misukenes, when the animal is already dangerously ill, and the shaila is whether the animal died before the shechita or after the shechita. Obviously, if the animal died before the shechita, it would make it a nevela. Well, we discussed perhaps a treifa. If it dies before the shechita, it's a nevela. The question is, when you shecht the misukenes and it doesn't show the proper movements upon death, so whether that's a nevela or a treifa. But either way, it's a major problem. If it moves in a certain way that shows a certain sense of vitality, then it's going to be okay. So we discussed at the very end what a misukenes is, what the definition of misukenes is, because we pointed out these signs of vitality are only necessary if the animal is becheskas misukenes. But if the animal is becheskas, a healthy animal, and there's nothing wrong with it, and for whatever reason just doesn't move much during the shechita, well, that doesn't pass all the shechita. There's no din that an animal has to move a lot during the shechita. It's only when there's a concern that it has a status of misukenes that it needs to move a lot during the shechita. So we are holding now two lines from the bottom of daf lamed zayin amud beis. Ashkechinu Shmuel l'talmidei d'Rav. So Shmuel found the talmidim of Rav and Amar lehu, Mayam Rav b'misukenes. So Shmuel was interested to know what Rav's chidushim were in regard to a misukenes. So Amar lehu, the talmidim said, Hachi Amar Rav. So said Rav, that in order for the animal to demonstrate a sign of vitality, all it needs to do is to groan or bark or moo or whatever the proper noise that it's supposed to make, or to defecate in a powerful way, or kishkesha ba'azna, if it wags its ear. So any of these things is enough to be considered pirchus, to show signs of vitality that such a behema was alive at the time prior to the shechita, and therefore is a kashra shechita. So amar lehu, it's zrichle la'aba la'zuzei uni. Rav really requires that you have to move the ear. That's a very that's a very big chumrah to require such movement, such detailed movement as moving the ear. Now, when he says Abba, it's a reference to Rav. First, let's finish Shmuel's statement, then we'll discuss why he called him Abba. So Shani Omer Kol She'inu Dvarim Shehamesa Osa, that it says Shmuel, my shita is, anything that a dead animal would not do is enough to be considered pirchus. Meaning there are certain things that reflexively an animal does after the shechita that it just continues to move. It's just the natural movements that it might have for a little bit after the shechita. Anything that's beyond those movements, I think already will be enough to be considered a pirchus. My ninud varm shamesa osa. What are those things that an animal does when it is dead? Some ravanon le didim efarshi l'minei deshmuel. I say yado kfufa upashatata davar shamesa osa. If its arm was bent and it extends the arm, that's something that a mesa osa. That's something that even a dead animal does. Pshuta v'kavava dvarm she'ena mesa osa. But if the arm was extended and then it withdrew, pulled in the arm, that's something that a dead animal does not do. So as long as it goes beyond what a normal dead animal will do, says Shmuel, that's enough to be considered pirchus. So frankly, Gemara, Maika Mashmulan, what's the chiddush about the definition of pirchus over here? Tanina, we already learned, be'madaka shepashta yadav lo'chzira psula, she'ina lo'otzas nefesh, that a behema daka that extends its arm, its foreleg, and doesn't bring it back, that is going to be puzzle, because that's just the tzas nefesh. But the implication is that if it does bring the arm back, that it's going to be kosher. So what's Shmuel's big chiddush when he says that when it's yados kafuf and it's pashta, when it was bent and it extends it out, that's just something that mesa osa. But the other way, when it's extended and it pulls it in, it's eina mesa osa. It already says that way in the Mishnah, and the implication of the Mishnah already is that if it's machzir, it's kosher, that that's already something that's atypical for a dead animal to do, and therefore is a proper sign of vitality. What's the chiddush of Shmuel beyond what the Mishnah already says? So it says, Gemara, imi mas
that
from the Mishnah alone, since it's only by way of implication, the Mishnah had said that a behemah daka that was poshet its yad and not machzir its pasul, it makes it sound that if that in order for it to be kosher, it needs to be poshet and then machzir. But Shmuel comes and adds that it doesn't need to be poshet and then machzir if it was already pshuto, it was already extended. And then it was kofef. That alone would be enough to be considered a proper pirchus for the animal to be considered vital enough that the shechita is going to be kosher. So there's discussion on the page over here about why Shmuel referred to Rav as Abba. So if you look at Rashi, the second line, La Abba, La Rav Havakari Le Shmuel Hachi, Mishum Kavod. So says Rashi, his name was Rav. Shmuel called him Abba because that was a lashon of kavod. To call him Abba, that was a nice way of referring to Rav. If you look at Tosfos, however, Tosfos points out, first he quotes Rashi, but then he points out about Aruch Piresh, that in the Aruch, he explains, Shekach Shemo, that Abba was his real name. V'Rav hayu korin oso al shem chashivuso. When we call him Rav in Gantz Shas, that's a nice compliment that we give him. That's a nice lashon of chashivus that we call him. But that's not his real name. Kimo debekol duchti avakari le Rebbe l'Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Calling Abba Rav, his name was really Abba, but calling him Rav is very similar to how we call Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Rebbe. It's just a nice lashon of kavod to show that he's the Rav. He's the one that we viewed as the highest authority. Shmuel shayichaveru hayikoreu b'shmo, but Shmuel was a chaver of Rav. So sometimes chaverim will still call even after their chaver has risen to the gadol b'Yisrael. But the old chaverim, they're still gonna, or not only old chaverim, he was an equal in the certain sense. We pass like Shmuel a lot of times against Rav. He's a bar plukta, so he didn't feel that he needed to give a lashon of kavod to Rav the way that the rest of Klal Yisrael had to. So he called him by his name. V'chein l'kaman I hachi amar Abba lo yada b'treifus klum. We have such an expression later on where Shmuel's going to say, if that's what Abba said, then he knows nothing about treifus. Now, why would you refer to him in a lashon of kavod when you're saying that he knows nothing? So obviously, he's just saying that's his name. And furthermore, it tells us a few lines later. He says, "Beferish mash masof perikreshus hagez." The Gemara is going to say later on, "Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan liisi man reish sidra bebavel." Amar lei Abba Aricha. So he says, who's the Reish Sidra b'Bavel? He says, it's Abba Aricha. The kasal of Rabbi Yochanan al-Shakarokein. And Rabbi Yochanan gets angry at him. How dare you call him Abba Aricha? Mashma behedya da'Abba lav l'shem chashivus. Now, if Abba was l'shem chashivus, why are you getting so upset that he called him Abba Aricha? He was calling him by a l'shem of chashivus, a l'shem of kavod. Sounds like he was upset at him, that he embarrassed him, that he was calling him a l'shem chutzpah. He says, however, you should realize sometimes just calling by the first name is not necessarily a lashon of gnai. It's only the first name, and then you attach some other title to it that it makes it a lashon of gnai. How do we know that? Because Rabbi Yochanan got so upset that Isi called him Abba Aricha, yet Rabbi Yochanan gufei hayikoreu Abba perikisei adam. Rav was much, much greater than Rabbi Yochanan, and nevertheless Rabbi Yochanan referred to him as Abba. So the same Rabbi Yochanan gets upset when Isi calls him something else, Abba Aricha, himself referred to Rav as Abba. So, and according to the Aruch again, Abba is his real name. So apparently it's not considered such a bizayon to just call him by his name. So Tosfos says, I got everything worked out according to the Shita of the Aruch. However, except there's one maramakam that's problematic. Mi'ol Rafam Nunadam Perakim Akipurim Ka'azil Abba L'miktal Gavra. When Ravam Nuna says, look, Rav is going to kill somebody, that's that story, if I recall correctly, where this is in the end of Maseches Yuma, where we talk about Mechila and things like that. So there was a butcher or something that had wronged Rav, and Rav was going to make himself available to the butcher so that the butcher could ask proper Mechila. So Rav Hamnuna saw where Rav was going, and he said, oh, this is not going to end well. That guy is never going to ask Mechila, and it's going to end up that the guy is going to die. So in fact, the guy did speak with a certain amount of chutzpah to Rav, if I recall correctly. I didn't have a chance to look up the Gemara, and as he was chopping the meat, a bone came out and struck him in the head, and he in fact died. But how does he refer to him? He says, Abba. Abba's going to the Mikdal Gavra. So Kashashay Talmidov, a Koreo B'Shmo. But wait a second. He was a Talmud of Rav. It's one thing for someone else who's not on Rav's level, who's not of the caliber of Rav, to call him by his name. But a Talmud should never be calling him by his first name. Gehazi was punished for calling his Rebbe by his name. But according to Rashi, that Abba is Lashon of Chashivus, so you understand very well why a Talmud is able to call him Abba. But normally you're not allowed to a Rebbe is not allowed to, a Talmud is not allowed to call a Rebbe by his first name. So if you hold Abba as his first name, so that's why it's problematic for the Aruch. It's not going to be so problematic for Rashi. Now, the Chassam Sofer and the Aruch Lener point out that the Gemara later on, Daf Kufira Alf and Beis, tell us that Shmuel's father's name was Abba Bar Abba. That was his actual name. So if you're going to say that the name of Rav was Abba, right, if you're going to say that his real name was Abba, like the Aruch says, how could Shmuel call Rav Abba if that was his father's name as well? The halacha is explicit in Shulchan Aruch Yardeis and Reish Mem Sif Beis that if your father is called by a certain name, you're not allowed to call other people by that name in front of your father. And not in front of your father, you are allowed to call other people of the same name only if it's a common name. But if it's an unusual name like Abba, then even not in front of your father, you're not allowed to use that name. So, some suffer point out that if Abba was in fact Rav's name, so it's difficult why Shmuel was allowed to call him by that name. If it was a title, so he's allowed to call him that as a title, he's not calling that as a name, then it wouldn't be a problem, even though it happened to have been his father's name. But if it was Rav's title, you can call him that as a derech kava, but to call him by that name is difficult. So there are a couple of issues a couple of points you could take issue with in this Aruch Lener and this Chassam Sofer. First of all, I don't know how we know that Abba was an uncommon name. Who said it's an uncommon name? You have the name Abba throughout Shas. Now, sometimes you have it together with another name, which sort of indicates that it's a title. Abba Shaul, Abba Chalafta, you have the Lashon of Abba sometimes together with another name, and we never ever find that Amorayim had two names. It's more of a modern thing. We rarely find Rishonim that had two names. It's a much more modern thing to give people two names when we name our children. Now you have three names and four names, but it's very, very rare in earlier generations. So it's most likely that in Amorayim, when you find that, or Tanayim, when you find that someone's called Abba something, so usually it just means that it's a title. But who says that it was such a rare name, that it wasn't a common name? The whole basis of the Kasha of the Chassam Sofer and the Aruch Lener is that it was a rare name. And also, who says that there's an exception that you're allowed to call somebody by a title that's the same name as your father? If your father has a name, and the whole point is that it's your father's name, and that you're calling Bishlam, if it was your father's title, I understand. But if it's your father's name, what do I care if it's your friend's title or your friend's real name? You shouldn't be allowed to call him by that. The point is that you're saying your father's name, and people are going to get the impression that you're actually calling your father, that you're saying you're calling your father by his first name. So that's problematic. In fact, I just on this point about calling your father by his first name, there is a Rabbi Yehuda Chassid that says a person should not marry someone who has the same name. A girl should not marry a boy who has the same name as her father. So I was discussing with Rav Mordechai Willig once what he held about this, and he said he's convinced that Rav Yehuda Chassid is just, and others, I found other achronim that say this as well, is based on the halacha of Kibra Ve'Ein, that if a girl marries someone who has the same name as her father, then she's very likely to call her husband by his name in front of the father. And that's a pegam in Kibra Ve'Ein, that she shouldn't be going around calling someone the same name as the father. So if you call him something else, you call him a different name, you know, if he has a middle name or something else, or a nickname, something else, so then that problem could be easily avoided. But anyway, that's the issue, the discussion that the Rishonim have over here, whether it's a lashon of chashivus to call him Abba, or Abba just happens to be his name. Now, Tos Yishonim sort of has a middle opinion. The Tos Yishonim says that it's derech chashivus amar lo Abba v'lo hayakori lo b'shmo chas v'shalom. And the way that the mashmos is that it was his name, but since the shame itself is also lashon of chashivus, he was allowed to call his Rebbe by that name. Meaning the last kasha that Tosfos leaves off with, how are you allowed to call your Rebbe by the name? How is Rav Amnuna allowed to call Rav Abba? So Tosfos Yishonim says he was allowed to do that because Abba happened to have been, yes, it happened to have been his name, but it's also a lashon of chashivus. So the Chida in Shema Gedolim writes that a man whose name is Abba, and everyone calls him Abba, his son is not allowed to call him Abba. What about this Tosfos Yishonim that makes it sound like that a Rebbe whose name is Abba, the Talmud is allowed to call him Abba? He says, no, that's because by Rav, everyone called him Rav. No one really called him Abba. And since the name Abba was sort of like forgotten, no one even realized it was his name, and it happens to have been a Lashon Chashiva, so even though it in fact was his name, the Talmud was allowed to call him that. But a name that's not a Lashon Chashiva, a name that's still used widely, even if it's Lashon Chashiva, you're not supposed to call him by that name. Okay, Vaitu. Says the Gemara, back to our sugya of Mesukenes Mefarchesas. Meisvei, the last word in line is Meisvei, about 10 lines down. Meisvei. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hayra Meir Omer, Go b'shashchita ein ze pirchus. If the animal moans or makes some sort of noise at the time of shchita, that's not called pirchus. Reb Lazar Rabbi Yossi Omer mishmo afilu itila rei v'kishk shabaznava ein ze pirchus. Even if the animal defecates or the animal wags its tail, that's not called pirchus. But wait a second, we started today's daf by saying that hachi Omer Rav go avitila rei v'kishk shabazna harezu pirchus, that whether it makes a noise or whether it's matel rei, it is going to be called pirchus. So kasha go kasha rei, so it's a double stira. So answers the Gemara, go lo kasha. Hada avikala, hada amikala. Now, one, it depends what the noise that it made sounded like. Did it sound like a strong voice, or did it sound like a weak voice? That would make the difference whether it's pirchus. When it's a stronger voice, it's a thicker, stronger voice, so that's called pirchus. That's what Rav was referring to. Over here, when we're saying it's not pirchus, we're talking about a much weaker voice. So also, when it comes to being matel rei, if it shoots out with some sort of force, so that's a sign of chiyus. But if it comes out very weakly and it just sort of drips out of the body, so that's not a sign of chiyus at all. So that's why you have to, each one depends on how you look at it. So now the Gemara is going to spend some time the rest of the Yama discussing this pirchus that's required in order to show a sign of vitality, in order to show that the animal is in fact was alive at the time of the shechita, the animal is kasher. When does that pirchus need to happen? Does the pirchus need to happen at the very beginning of the shechita, sometime in the middle of the shechita, or all the way at the end of the shechita? So all three possibilities are going to be shitos and amoraim in the Gemara. We're going to have three shitas: Rav Chista, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and Rava. So start with Rav Chista. Amar Rav Chista, pirchus sha'amur b'sov shechita. That pirchus that we require has to be b'sov shechita. My b'sov shechita be'emtza shechita. And by that I mean be'emtza shechita. Meaning he says, I have such a kabbalah from Erebeim that has to be b'sov shechita. But let me explain. My kabbalah from Erebeim doesn't mean b'sov shechita mamish. It means sof in a relative term. Relative to the beginning of shechita, it's more sof than the beginning of shechita. La'afuke t'chila shechita delo. That it's just insufficient to have the pirchus at the beginning of the shechita. Because of course the animal was alive at the beginning of the shechita, but that's not enough. You need the animal to have still been alive at the emsa shechita in order for the shechita to be kashra shechita. So Rav Chista says, how do I know that this is true, that you need the chiyus, the signs of pirchus, to be in the middle of shechita? Titnan, we have a Mishnah behemadak, our Mishnah behemadak, if the behemadak sticks out its foreleg and does not pull it back, it's going to be possible. So emas, when does this happen? Ilem b'sof shechita If you're going to tell me that it sticks out its leg at the end of Shechita, how long do you want it to still be moving for? I mean, how much better can you do than that? That after you shecht it, it's not really, after you shecht it, it's still moving. You think that's not good enough? That's not enough of a sign of vitality? Come on, that's got to be enough. Elolav ve'emtzah shechita, must be that it's not after the shechita, it's in the emtzah shechita that it sticks out its leg, that it's not good enough. Amle Rava, li'olam b'sov shechita, shanyomer kol she'ena osakin b'sov shechita b'yodua, sh'neshmasa natulei mena kodem l'chein. Rava said, no, that's not a raya at all. Maybe it's really talking about the sov shechita, and the reason that you need it to happen at the sov shechita is because if it's not sticking out its leg at the end of the shechita, so then if it's not moving properly at the end of the shechita, so that's a sign that it's in the shechita. Neshama was already taken away before the end of the Shechita, and we want the Yitzias and Neshama to be at the end of the Shechita. Anyway, that is Shechita number one, that it's Be'emtza Shechita, that we look for these signs. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Pircha Shamru, Betchila Shechita. Even if it's only Mefarches, second day, even if it's only Mefarches at the beginning of Shechita, that's good enough. That's enough of a sign of vitality if it's only Mefarches at the beginning of the Shechita. Amr of Nachum Yisrael Minah Minulos, Rav Nachum Yisrael says, how do I know that this is in fact true? Titnan, Amr of Shimon HaShochet, Belailu L'machar Matzuk Salam Aleim Dam, K'sheira Shazinko K'midus Rav Lazar. In the Mishnah it said, that if you shecht in the nighttime, it's dark and you don't see what's going on in the room, and then the next morning you wake up and you find that the walls are full of blood, so it's kosher, assuming like Rabbi Lazar's opinion, that any time the blood is zonic, any time the blood squirts out, that's enough of a sign of vitality that it's going to be a kosher shechita. Va'amr Shmuel, but you should know, Shmuel explained that the Mishnah is talking about not the walls of the room in which you shechted being full of blood. You don't need that amount of blood. Rather, the walls, meaning the area on the animal's neck that surrounds the area of the shechita, you need enough blood to be squirting that part is bloodied up really good. That the area of the kosle beis shechita are bloodied up really well. But the point is, I understand very well if these simanim are good enough that to have the zinuk, to have the squirting of the blood, is good enough at the beginning of the shechita. So then I understand why the next day you could look and see that it's there, and that will suffice, because for all you have no idea when it happened, you just know that it happened. If you saw it, if you didn't see it till the next day because it was dark at the time of the shechita, all you know is that it was zonik at some point. So if having it be zonik at the beginning of the shechita is good enough, so good, that's all you need. All you need to know is that it squirted at some point. But if you say that you need it to happen at the sov shechita, and that if it was zonik at the beginning of the shechita, that's not good enough, we need it to still have signs of vitality later on in the shechita, well then how does looking at it the next day help you at all? You look at it the next day, yeah, it may have squirted, but you have no idea when it squirted. So therefore, it's a raya, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that even betchila shechita is good enough. So now, in order to bring this raya, why did we have to mention the definition of kosel over here? Did we really need Shmuel to add, by the way, kosel doesn't mean the walls of the room, it means the kosel beis hashchita? Why is that brought here? Mele, you want to tell me that's pshat in the Mishnah, so tell me that's pshat in the Mishnah when you're discussing the Mishnah. But in terms of the raya that's being brought, is it a necessary component of the raya? So says Rashi, yes, it is a necessary component of the raya. If you look at Rashi, v'amr Shmuel, l'hach yisruch l'frushay de kosalim da'ach alav v'kosalim amish al kosel beis hashchita. The reason we need to say it over here is the Iyav Kosol Mamish, if it literally meant the walls of the room, you can tell by the location on the walls where the blood is whether the zinuk happened at the beginning of the Shechita or at the end of the Shechita or in the middle of the Shechita. If it was at the beginning of the Shechita, you would find it high up on the walls. The machmas koach v'chiyus shaya adayin bebehema zimka l'merachok, because the animal, because it's still very much alive at the beginning of the Shechita, the zinuk can go, the blood can squirt much further. If you find it lower on the wall, then you know what happened in the middle of the Shechita. koach kol kach lozanik adam l'mrachok. They didn't have so much koach. Aval hashadom Shmuel dani kosev lava kosev mamish ol kosev besashchita. But once Shmuel tells us that kosel over here doesn't mean walls of the room, it just means the kosev besashchita. It means the area on the animal's neck. So then lo matzin l'meidi tchilas shchita zin kiyadachro shchita. Then you will have no idea by looking at it whether it happened at the beginning or the end of the shchita. And that's from Nachum Yitzchak's whole raya, is that next day you're going to have no idea. So it must be that it suffices that it was zonik b'tchilas shchita. But if by analyzing the picture the next day you're going to be able to reproduce what happened, so then Rav Nachum Yitzchak's raya falls away. Rav Nachum Yitzchak's whole raya was that since you have no idea what happened, it must be tchilas shchita is good enough. Anyway, says the Gemara, v'dilma shiny zinuk da'adiv. Maybe when it comes to other signs of vitality, maybe you taka do need them to be more toward the middle or end of Shechita, but Zinuk is good enough if it happens at the beginning of Shechita, because that's such a sure sign of vitality that even if it happens at the beginning of Shechita, it's good enough. So basically they say, Renachmer Yitzchak, enochinami. You have a good raya that Zinuk is a good enough simen at the beginning of Shechita, but that does not necessarily mean that Pshita Siad V'regel and all the other simanim of Pirchus are also a good enough sign at the beginning of Shechita. Zinuk is a much stronger simen. So, frak the Gemara, mi adif, is that true? It's a stronger simen. But then Rabbi Lazar Omer, daya im zinka. Rabbi Lazar's lashon is, it's good enough if it's just zonik. Sounds like zinuk is a weaker simen. To say it's good enough, you don't need all those other simen. All you need is zinuk. That's good enough. Sounds like it's a much weaker simen. So says Gemara, well, kal midram gamliel va'adav midrabanan. Remember, we had two other shitos in the Mishnah. Do you need pshitas yad viragel or yad oregel? Do you need both the hand, the foreleg and the hind leg to move, or only one or the other? So zinuk is a stronger simen than one or the other. It's a weaker simen than having both move. So that's why he says daya. So daya in the sense that that from a Rabbi Gamliel perspective, he said, no, you don't need both. Amar Ravina, Amali Sama Bar Chilkoi, Akshiba Avua Debar Abuvaram, Va'amrila Achua Debar Abuvaram, Umidrabanan Mi Adif. Abuvaram was the person's name. Apparently we knew who he was. We didn't know exactly who his father or his brother was, so we used the Abuvaram as the point of reference. So we asked the father of Baru Abuvaram, or the brother of Abuvaram, so is it really true that Zinuk is a stronger sign of vitality than the Rabbanan's Shita of either Yad or Regel? When the Chacham say their Shita, they say it's not good enough until you have Oyad Oregel, which makes it sound like there was someone that allowed for something even less than Oyad Oregel, and the Chacham are saying, no, it's not good enough until you have either the movement of the Yad or the movement of the Regel. Now, if you're going to say that Zinuk is a stronger sign of vitality, so what's the Ad? Rabbanan Ahea Kaimu. Whose sheet are they going on? Are they working off of? Ilemad Rabban Gamliel. If they're working off of Rabban Gamliel's sheet, who says that you need both Yad, movement of the Yad and Regel, Kivan Shapir Chsami Bayalei. It should have said, nah, it's good enough. The Rabbanan should have said, it's good enough to have one or the other. What's the Ad? El Pshita is Rabbi Lazar, so it must be that they're working on Rabbi Lazar, they're working off of Rabbi Lazar's Shita. V'i Adif, my Ad. But if you're going to say Zinuk is a stronger sign of vitality, what's the Ad? That no, Zinuk is not good enough, you need either Pshita Siyad or Regel. Makes it sound like Zinuk is a lower level of vitality. So that's the that's why the Kash. So again, where does that leave us? Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak had a Raya that Zinuk works even b'tchila shchita. We said, maybe that's only by Zinuk because it's such a major sign of vitality. We now said, no, Rav Nachum Yitzchak's raya is a good raya. The fact that Zinuk works at the beginning, kol shekein any of the other signs of Pirchus Agnor, because we just proved that Zinuk is not a stronger sign of vitality, it's in fact a weaker sign of vitality than all the others. Now, we had mentioned within the Shita of Rav Chista that Pirchus has to be be'emtza shchita, that kol she'ena osakein b'sov shchita b'yodur sh'neshmas n'tulei mena kodum l'chein. We mentioned this idea that any time it doesn't do this at the end of the shchita, we know know that it had died previously. Now that lashon, that if it doesn't do the proper pirchus, we know that it had died previously, is pretty definitive about what the status of the animal is when it's not mefarches. We had a discussion in the Gemara yesterday. Is it a treifa or is it a nevela? When you say such a lashon, we know it died previously. An animal that dies on its own before shchita is a nevela. It's not a treifa. A treifa is when you do a proper shchita and then discover that the animal was very sickly. Over here we're saying that it wasn't sickly at the time of shchita, it was dead at the time of shchita, which means that it would have the status of a nevela. In fact, the Rambam writes, Shachtav lo pirchsa, harei ze nevela, v'loka ala. That's Rambam Machol Sasuras, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Gimel, and the Torah also writes that a mesukenis is not nitar b'shchita. L'may nafkamina, whether it's a nevela or a treifa, so you say nafkamina is for tumas masa, tumas magal masa, who cares? Nowadays we're not so makbar in tumatara, we're not makbar at all really on tumatara anymore anyhow. So there is a nafkamina. There's an isra of osav esbino, that you're not allowed to shecht an animal and its child on the same day. But that's only shchita. If the mother dropped dead, you're allowed to go and shech the child on the same day that the mother just happened to drop dead. So if you're going to say that it has a that when you shech the mesukenes, it's not kosher, but it has the status of a treifa, which means you did a maisa shechita on it, it's just that it happened to have been a treifa, the halacha vosav espino would still apply. You would not be allowed to shech the child of the offspring of that animal. But if it's a nevela, so then we're just saying the animal dropped dead before the shechita, then there is no din of osav espino. So that's that would be the nafkamina. Okay, third shita now. Rava Amar, Pirchus Sha'amru, when we say Pirchus, Bisov Shchita, it means even at the very end of Shchita. Now, the problem is going to be, of course, that Rav Nachman Yitzchak just proved pretty conclusively that Tchila Shchita is good enough from the case of Zinuk, that we said that Yeshechtin, the Mishnah said, Yeshechtin in a dark room, you could check the next day, and as long as you can, there is evidence that the blood shot out, at any point, that's good enough. Sounds like even B'tchila Shchita is good enough. What's Rava going to do with that? So Tosus points out, V'hadalo chayshin and dilma B'tchila Shchita zinek, mishum t'lo shchicha shi zinuk al basof. Now, since zinuk is something that typically only happens at the end of Shchita, that's the kind of thing. It's not like a movement which could happen at any time. The squirting of the blood typically only happens at the end of Shchita, so Mela, Rava's not going to be worried that when you look for signs of zinuk the next day, that how do you know it happened at the end and not at the beginning of Shchita? It happened at the end because that's when it always happens. That's how Rava would address Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's Raya. But anyway, Rava holds that it's got to be Besov Shchita. Any earlier in the Shchita, it's not a good enough sign of vitality. Amar Rava Mina Aminulas. Rava says, how do I know that I'm correct about this? The Tanya, we have a Braisa. Shor Okesev. So the whole pasuk reads, Shor Okesev O Eiz Ki Yivaled. When a Shor Okesev or Eiz is born, Vayeshivas Yom Tachasimo, it should be for 7 days under its mother, Umayom Ashmini Vali Yeratzel Lekabri Yishal Hashem. And only from the 8th day of life can it serve as a Karban Hashem. So we're just going to take piece by piece of the pasuk and Darshan different halachos. So Sharu Kesev Prat Leklayim. Right away, it tells you it has to be a definitively identified animal. You have to be able to identify it as a Shar or a Kesev. If it's Klayim, if it's some sort of mixture, so that's excluded. Tosus deals with the issue that we're apparently saying the word O is an exclusion. O comes to exclude something. Yet we have other places in Shas, including 2 weeks ago when we did Daf Chav Gimel, where the word O comes to include. Remember we discussed different stages of an animal's life, that in the first 12 months it's called a certain thing, and then from 13th month and on it's called something else. What about in that in-between stage? What's the status in the in-between stage? So that was the sugi of Palgus. So we said O is Larabos of Palgus, and by Yosef Espino also. So we're going to dash in Ose Larabos Klayim. So we use O as a riboy many places in Shas, and yet over here we're using it as a miut, apparently. So that troubles Tosos, and Tosos writes, Yishlomer Degabi Palgus Memele Imit Vlotzar Kra El Larabos. It depends what the default position is. What would we have assumed had the Pasuk not done anything unusual? Would we have assumed a miut, or would we have assumed a riboy? So he says that the Palgus we would have assumed we would have naturally excluded anyhow, because it's not listed in the Torah as one of the kosher things. So that's why the oak must be coming to be marbel. And same by also Vesmano, Mimele imit klayim, the shor v'sei, yata yachol lahotzi klayim mibineihem. Avalach ha-kesev ve'ez k'siv, shata yachol lahotzi klayim mibineihem, u'mimele yisrabu. But over here, since it mentions kesev ve'ez, which can produce a klayim animal, so I would have thought that klayim is included. That's why the O comes dafka to exclude. Viter in the drash on the pasuk, O A's prat l'nidma. When it says O A's, that comes to exclude an animal that is, does not appear to be the same species as its mother, as its parents. That's a very unusual thing. It just means that it's that something's messed up. It's a mutant of some sort, because the animal has two parents that are goats, and it looks like a sheep. It's a completely different looks like a different min. As the Rambam writes, Ein mum gadol min ashinui. There's no greater mum than just being completely unusual, completely different. Ki valeid, prat li yotzei dofen. The pasuk says ki valeid, that comes to exclude a yotzei dofen, an animal of cesarean section. It has to have had a proper leida. So yotzei dofen is not kosher to be brought on the mizbech. Shivas yamim, it says 7 days, prat l'mechusar zman. That obviously means that it's got to be, it has to be 7 days old. If it's less than 7 days old, then it can't be brought as a korban. Tachas imo, prat l'yasom. That means the animal can't be yasom. Very unusual lashon. We call an animal a yasom. But the animal can't be, the mother can't be dead. So, frankly, the Gemara, hay yasom echidami. And again, why are we quoting all this? This is somehow going to be a proof to Rava's Shita that when we say that you require pirchus, the pirchus happens. Besof Shchita, that the pirchus has to happen besof Shchita. So what's the case of Yasam exactly? So there are three possibilities. The first two we're going to immediately reject. What do you mean yasam? That the mother gave birth to the animal, and then the mother animal gave birth to the baby animal, then the mother died. That's going to be a problem for the baby to be used as a korban. What, the mother has to live forever? Why does that show anything wrong with the baby animal just because the mother died after the childbirth? Ella de mesa v'hadar yilidite. No, it must be a case that the mother died and then the baby was born. But if the mother died and then the baby was born, that's a yotzei dofen. That means that that it wasn't a leida. It didn't come out by a mother pushing the baby out. It came out as a yotzei dofen. So that we already know from ki yivalei that it's pasul. So what does it mean that it's a yasam? What's the case where I need a pasuk to tell me that a yasam is no good? El pshita, it must be that just as it was giving birth, that's when it was dying. Just as the mother was going the misa, the baby was going l'chayim. So iam bishlam abin chiyusa b'sof leida haynu disrucha lemute. So if you tell me that you need chiyus at the end of leida, that we define things by the end of the moment, so I understand very well, you need a pasuk to be mima'it, tell me that such a baby animal is no good for a korban. But if you can say you don't need chiyus at the end of leida, so then I would already know to exclude it, because ki yivaleida would just have the status of a yotzei dofen. So what do you see? The bottom line is that kol milsa, as Rashi says, kol milsa debo barabbanon chiyusa, whenever the Rabbanon required chiyus in something, it always has to be at the end of it. Just like by Leida, we require chiyus at the end of Leida, so too Pirchus is a sign of chiyus. When do you need that chiyus? Not at the beginning of the Shechita, not at the middle of the Shechita, but dafka at the end of Shechita. Tosfos deals with the question that the Gemara says, the only case where we're talking about a yasam must be a case where Zepirish L'chaim, Zepirish L'misa, where it happens instantaneously. Mamish, at the same moment the mother dies, that's when the baby's born. So Tosfos deals with the question that in general we have a sugya in Shas, Efshel Tzamtzeim O E'efshel Tzamtzeim. Are we able to measure exactly when something has to be at a precise moment? Are we ever able to really measure if it in fact happened at that precise moment? So Tosfos points out, Ein lo chiyach mikan dafilu b'dei shemayim efshel Tzamtzeim. Very unusual idea that Tosa says. That really, the only time this halacha could really be nogeya is if Eliyahu HaNavi comes and tells us that at the exact moment the mother died, the child was born. It has to dafka be in such a way, Otherwise, we would never know if it was the exact moment or not the exact moment. We would never know if Zeb Pirush L'Chaim, Zeb Pirush L'Misa. We have no way of knowing such a thing. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, if you look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't understand that way. If you look at Rashi, Zeb Pirush L'Misa, he says, Imo, Kolomer, B'shas Misasa Yelda, Derech Harechem, that at the time the mother was dying, the baby was being born, V'ashminen Kra, D'b'imun Chiyus Ad Gemar Leida, and then he adds, Ula Acher Leida Ma'at, that you need Chiyus till the end of the Leida, and a little bit more. V'ilo Havale Yasom, and if you don't have Chiyus past the Leida a little bit, it's a Yasom. Because when we say that a yasom, when we say that the tachasimo excludes a yasom, what's it excluding? It's excluding a mother that was alive during the leida but died at the gemar leida, which means it doesn't live past the leida a little bit. That's something you should be able to measure, whether it lived just a tiny drop past the leida. Okay, says the gemar weiter. Amarava hilchsa kiyamas nisa, the halacha in this matter of a behemoth that's Farchesa is going to be like the following brisa. Behemadaka shapashta yadav lo chzira psula, a small animal that stuck out its foreleg and did not pull it back is puzzle. By medvar, because that's not enough of a sign of vitality. By medvar, mamurim biyad. Avu beregel bein pashav lo kafa bein kafav lo pashta kshera. But a hind leg, whichever way it moves it, it's going to be kosher. By medvar, mamurim bedaka, and all that is only by behemadaka. Avu begasa bein biyad bein beregel bein pashav lo kafa bein kafav lo pashta kshera. But by behemagasa, any movement in any of its legs, forelegs, hind legs, doesn't make a difference. Going forwards, back, moving the leg out, in, doesn't matter. Any of them is going to be kosher. Is enough of a sign of vitality for a behemagasa. Va'of, afil lo rifrei felagapov lo kishke shel iznavo, hariz a pirchus. And an oaf, even if it just wags its tail a little bit, meaning it moves its back feathers, I guess, a little bit, or it moves its wing a little bit, that's good enough. So my kamashmalan, what's the chiddush of this price? Kulutanin, we have it all already in the Mishnah. Behemadaka shapashi yadavol zirup sula. Nefesh. Mishnah already said it. Behemoth daka 6 out of 10 and doesn't bring it back. So that's possible because it's only that's just a sign of it dying. So yad in regalo, daka in gasalo. So we could already make all the diukim directly from the Mishnah. What's the brisa adding? So says Gemara, all the brisa is adding is that last halacha about a bird. Of it's shrichle de lotanan. The only thing that we didn't have it directly in the Mishnah is the halacha by a bird. Okay, new Mishnah. Hashoche lo vichavim shchitasu ksherev. A person shechts for a guy, for an ovik kochavim, the shechita is kosher. It does not mean if you shecht the avodah zara. We're talking about you shecht the behema for a guy, the shechita is kosher, according to the Tanakama. Rav Blazer posts on. Rav Blazer says, no, the shechita is going to be possible. Amr Blazer, afilu shechta lech lovit kochavim mechatzo kovit shalop psula. Rav Blazer goes so far as to say, even if all you had in mind was to give the Ovid Kochavim, just the Ovid Kochavim owned a very tiny part of the animal, just the diaphragm of the animal, and that's all he's going to eat from it, and you're shechting the animal, even that's going to be possible. You're not allowed to eat the rest of that animal. Because if the guy is the owner of the animal, we assume that his machshava by having you shecht is l'shem avodah zarah. That's Rav Blazer's shita. Tanakam apparently disagrees. Tanakam apparently says, if you don't know that he's shechting, that he has in mind l'shem avodah Zara, he just hired you to shecht his animal for him, so you can go ahead and shecht his animal for him. You don't have to worry that there's any machshavas of avodah zara. Omar Rabbi Yossi, now we have a third sheet, Rabbi Yossi says, kal v'chomer advarim, umma b'makom shem machshava posalas b'mukdashin. Rabbi Yossi says, why do I care what the guy is thinking while you're shechting the animal? I don't care that he's the owner of the animal. Think about it. In a place where machshava matters a lot, like by karbanos, where machshava always matters, machshava's pigle can destroy the animal, machshava chutzes manu chutzes mukam, machshava's psalm, machshava's pigle are very critical. Still, all we care about is, does the oved have those machshavos? It doesn't matter what the bailam is thinking. It's all an issue of what the person who's doing the avoda is thinking. So makom she'in machshava poselas b'chulin. So a place where machshava really doesn't matter so much, like by chulin, by shechting a regular animal. Ein udin shaliyah kol halecha lachar shochet. So all the more so that everything should follow only the shochet, and we shouldn't really care what the bailam has in mind. So this basically what we have in this mishnah seems to be a three way machlokas. And we're going to have two explanations of what exactly the Nekuda Samachlokas is between Tanakama, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Yossi. So that's what Mr. Shum will pick up tomorrow with the Gemara, with the two explanations of the three-way Machlokas.